Guys, welcome to Better Bachelor. My name is Joker, and tonight we're going to be talking about how to think like a king, not a pawn. It was a really fun way I could kind of phrase it, of getting your mind right and realizing that the happiness that you're going to have, the relationships in your life, if any, that you're going to have, all come from you being happy and you being the source of your happiness, and that relying on people outside of that happiness comes second place. Furthermore, a spouse, a girlfriend, a wife, surprisingly enough, some women have asked me, a boyfriend, a husband, that cannot be your source of happiness. Now, it can add to it perhaps, but if this is what is going to be your defining thing to make you happy and feel good in your life, you're never going to get there. Or you're going to break up or get a divorce or something is going to happen and you're going to be miserable. So tonight I'm going to tell you all the reasons why, number one, you are going to be the source of your happiness. And number two, you do not need a significant other in your life to make you happy. And as a matter of fact, my argument is that you'll be happier without one. So first thing I want to talk about here is I decided to go on this chess theme because I've been playing chess recently, but also because it helps me understand or helps me express these ideas. And it's a nice simple image that's easily to manipulate for the YouTube video. What you're looking at here, the big piece, chess piece in this video, is not the king, it is the queen. And the bishop next to it is the child in this woman's life. That is the family. The little king you see over here off to the side, that is you. This is what modern relationships, for the most part, are boiling down to be. Now, yes, there are some exceptions. Yes, there are the needles in the needle stack out there. You can always find a rare person that doesn't think like this nowadays. But many of the women that are growing up today are empowered, and a lot of the kids are too, where a woman is, it's my way or the highway. We don't need men. Men are evil anyway. They're just holding us back. Patriarchy, all the other blah, blah, blah. All the other crazy stuff that they talk about. And so in the center of a woman's world right now is the woman. She wants to make her own money. She doesn't need a guy. If she does want a guy, it's something only temporary or for some physical fun, or maybe she wants multiple. And you're down the line. And you'll see this in the dating app that I have. The same thing when they have kids. Now, whether they have kids ahead of time or this is actually you and your spouse's child, the child in most cases, again, takes precedent over the husband. So now even if you're dating, for example, I'll go so far as to say the woman and her pet will come before you. A woman and her job will come before you. A woman and her friends will come before you. You have to realize now that the modern trope is that men come last. Men are the least important faction or factor in a woman's life. You see it in the media. You see it in the news. You see it in all the modern magazines, in TV commercials, in television shows. We talk about this often, that now it's a woman's world and you're just living in it. So when you say, I need a relationship or a woman or a wife or a girlfriend, I need that to be happy, you're automatically putting yourself in a place of weakness and a place where your happiness is reliant upon somebody else. And that somebody else is going to be bigger than life to you if that's where your happiness is coming from. Now, you might be a successful guy. I mean, if you remember a couple videos ago, I did the story about the guy that was a millionaire or maybe a billionaire. He sold his company for a lot of money and he started dating an OnlyFans girl and he lavished her with gifts and gave her all this stuff. And even though she blew him off and she used him for money and she turned him down several times, he basically was begging her to marry him and she was just kind of crapping on him. And even though he was successful and probably had friends and had lots of money, his happiness was very much put upon her and her being the source of that. And so he acted the fool and he went out of his way to try to do all these things for her and she crapped on him and he was very unhappy and he decided to take litigation against her, which was stupid. But the whole point is that his whole life kind of crumbled apart from what a woman did to him. The same thing happens when you put your happiness or your success or your joie de vivre, your joy of life, on somebody else, an external point. And again, like I said in this image here, the woman is the center of the attention. Your happiness relies upon her, and whether she has a kid already or whether you two have a kid together, you're going to be relegated to helping her with tasks around the house and being a support pillar. You also notice in this photo, there's really no one else. Well, let's face it. Most of the times you get married, you're often ostracized from your friends. You know, she'll complain she doesn't like your friends, or you hang out with your friends too much, or XYZ. You don't really get to do many hobbies on your own. Again, in most cases, not all, but in most, a lot of times your hobbies go to the back burner. I know this. I've been in a relationship, and one of my hobbies that I enjoy is motorcycle riding. When I had just a one-person bike, no matter when I was dating somebody, if I was in a long-term relationship with them, and especially if when I was cohabitating with a couple of them that I did, and my ex-wife, I'd say, I'm going to go out for a motorcycle ride. Who are you going with? A couple of buddies. We're just going to go riding for the day. How long are you going to be gone? Where are you going to go? Don't forget, you promised you were going to do this. Why can't you find it? Why don't we get a bike that they have bikes that they can ride their girlfriends or wives on? Why don't you get one like that so I can go with you? Same thing when it comes down to video games. Video games is one of my passions. I don't get to spend much time on it, but I will play a video game every once in a while. Have you ever tried to quietly sit, those of you that have lived with girlfriends or are married, have you ever tried to quietly sit and play a game in a room by yourself? Most of the time it's, hey, you've been on there for 2 hours. That's enough. I need you to help me with this. I need you to do this. Please, I'm bored. Please do. Your life is not your own. And that's the old expression too, where the man cave came from. It's when a guy has to set up the garage as his because he doesn't get run of the house anymore. All these things you lose when you get in a relationship. And on top of that, when you've made her your pillar of happiness, you're going to lose. Now, let me show you an image here of my life and usually what I suggest for guys to have as their life. You notice there's a lot more going on in this photo, okay? You're not just reliant upon one thing. Here, the centerpiece of everything is you, the king, the guy. You are basically the center of attention in your own life. Here next to it, I have lots of different pieces. And again, I put the knight, which is a horse. I put that next because that's my dog, right? But that's your pet, your animal, whether you have a cat or a dog. You might have multiples of them, but it's always going to be by your side. And I have some fun articles I'm going to read after this. But I want you to kind of visualize this. But let's say that the dog leaves the picture. He gets sick. He gets hurt. He dies from old age. You've still got a lot going on here, okay? And you can also replace a dog if something happens to him, but he's going to be by your side. Next, you've got the rook, in this case, your job. Now, in the other photo, I could have put the job, but the difference is when you're married or you're dating someone, you're living somebody, and that someone is in the center of your life, it doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want when it comes to jobs. It doesn't mean like you can just chase your passions and your heart's desires in all cases. Why? Because if you're a network engineer, which is what I used to be, and making $100,000 a year, and you say, you know what, I'm miserable, I'm unhappy, I don't want to do this anymore. Instead, I want to carve my own wood furniture. I want to make chess pieces. I want to be an artist. I want to be a whitewater raft river guide. But I'm only going to make $30,000 or $40,000 a year. But I live cheaply, and that would be really fun. You don't get to do that. Well, you can do that, but you don't get to keep the girl. She's going to bail on you. She's not going to stick around if you lose $60,000 a year in income. She's going to think you're crazy. She's not going to be okay with you losing a huge chunk of your income, because now she may be making more, or now she may feel that you're not providing as much. So I don't include the job in the other one, because most of the time you don't get to do whatever you want. You've got to do what's best for the family, and it's going to make you the most income. And even if it's a more stressful or longer hours, you better take that promotion because it's going to make you more money. But in this case, you get to do whatever you want as long as it's within the means. And it's something that you can actually learn how to do. I mean, you can't go out and be a doctor tomorrow. But if you wanted to become a doctor, you could live very cheaply and you could decide to study to become a doctor, even at the age of 40. I wouldn't advise it, but I do know somebody that was in the computer field and ended up becoming a doctor, and they started studying to become a doctor in their 40s. And by the time they finished med school and everything, they were 52 or 53. That's what they wanted to do. They could still do that. You can't do that and just leave a family in the lurch by not having the money coming in. Now, if you look at the bishops in this case, I'm not going to call them kids. We're going to call them friends. Now, I only have two in this photo, but you could throw in here as many as you want. I don't think you're going to have a room full of best friends, but you're going to have friends. You're going to have acquaintances. You're going to have people that are important to you. And you may not have it now, but it's a lot easier to get a good friend or somebody that you get along with or somebody that has a similar hobby or meeting somebody online that you communicate well with or shoot pool with or play MMOs, multiplayer games online with. It's easier to find somebody that you have similarities with and make friends. Now, does this mean they're all going to be your best friends? No. But let's say you pick a pub and it's good to shoot pool at and you go down every Friday night, night after night. You start learning the bartender's name. You start getting to know people. People recognize you when you come in. You get a couple of people you like to shoot pool against or darts or whatever. You're going to make some acquaintances. And then there's something that's fun to do every Friday or Saturday or whatever. Same thing when you get into hobbies. I met a lot of people when I joined a motorcycle riding group. As a matter of fact, we'd go out on main runs on Saturday, but we became friends to where a group of us would also go out for coffee on Sunday mornings and just talk politics, talk life, talk motorcycles, talk anything. I got a huge group of friends, and they were, I'd say, probably 10 or 15 friends. None of them were best friends, but all of us knew each other, and we had a good time together. I look forward to Sundays. It was probably my favorite day of the week, even more so than the main motorcycle riding group, because I got to know a group of about 10 people really well. And I knew their stories and their jobs and their life experiences and their travels. And they knew mine. And you start becoming and getting a sense of community. And that community is what's going to make you be that outside source of happiness. The other thing, last thing I have on here is a bunch of pawns. And the pawns are your hobbies in this case. Again, you don't really get to enjoy all your hobbies, or at least not to the degree in when you're in a normal relationship or if you're cohabitating or anything like that. Because if you're doing your hobbies often enough, like my hobbies, every day I go to the gym now. I go for about an hour to an hour and a half every day. I'm usually working on something around the bus for at least a couple of hours. And yeah, I'm getting really close. I got some curtains to hang up, but I got to order new curtains and I got to put the driver's seat in and drive it down to have my class 4 trailer hitch welded on, or my trailer receiver welded on, which is going to be next week. But I've had this bus to work on. This has been my main hobby, for the last couple of years, but I've also got motorcycle riding. I've also got going out and shooting pool, which I've done a couple times. You can, and all these things can mix together. But what happens, for example, if you break your leg and you can't motorcycle ride? Well, you can still probably hobble over to the pub and shoot a couple of rounds of pool. It might not be that easy with a broken leg, but you can shoot a couple rounds of pool and still hang out with your friends. You can still hang out with your dog. You've still got the job that you love. You've still got your friends. One of the hobbies you might lose the side. What happens if a friend moves away? You've still got other friends, still got your job, still got your dog. What happens if your dog passes away or something bad happens? Still got your job you love, still got your friends, still got your hobbies. There's so many outlets for you to be happy with that then if you decide to date or then if you decide to bring somebody into your life, they're just another small piece that you're bringing in. And maybe over time that piece grows and becomes more important to you, but it should never overshadow all the other things that you have in your life making you happy. When you go back to this original, you know, the original photo of just these couple pieces, if the wife and kids leave you, that's it. You're alone. This is usually where men decide to take themselves out or because they're not happy anymore. Because everything, their world has collapsed. They did the job that they didn't really like, but it brought in good money, but it's not the job of their dreams. The woman that they love, their kids, they lost everything. Now, again, this is talking about marriage, but the same thing happens when you're dating and you put all your energy and all your cards and you give up everything else that's important in your life for one person. They can leave you and you've got nothing left. And this is where people get very, very, either they kind of get depressed or something's off in their life. When you've got a life that's like this, and maybe if she is part of this life, she's one of these pieces, But the point is, you have to keep all the other pieces in your life. And if you're leading a life like this, and you say, you know something, I'm happy, everything's great, and you bring somebody else into that life, don't put any of these pieces away for someone else. You hold on to all this. And because a well-adjusted, happy woman or happy person will say, okay, he's got his friends, I've got my friends. He's got his hobbies, I've got my hobbies. He's got a job that he loves, I got a job that I love. And he's got a pet, and I love the pet or my pet or whatever. That's how it's supposed to work. And if you can meet somebody like that, then hey, go ahead, incorporate them into your life. You don't live with them, you don't marry them. And if you want a long-term date them, that's fine, as long as you live separately, just make sure the laws do not rake you over the coals. But you can't let go of everything else. Now, I got some articles that I'm going to read, and this is kind of fun. This is from The Atlantic. So the reason why I wanted to bring this one up is because I've had a lot of guys say, yeah, but I don't want to grow old and end up not, you know, passing away and being alone when I go. Well, look what happened just here with the bug going around. A lot of people went into the hospital and never came back out, and their loved ones weren't allowed to go in and see them. No guarantees, right? This article here is, dear therapist, I'm ashamed of how I treated my husband as he laid on his deathbed. It says 2 days before, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is the part that's important. 2 days before he passed, I yelled at him and said hurtful things to him. I feel guilty that I didn't give him rice when he asked for it. He had cancer. That's the, it was late and I didn't want to go out to buy it. I just have so much guilt. It seems like everything I did to him was hurtful, even though I didn't hurt him intentionally. I miss him so much and keep asking for some sign that he has forgiven me and still loves me in spite of everything. Please help me. I'm really, really suffering. Now, he's gone. There is no sign unless you're looking at maybe the clouds blowing in a certain way that are like, eh. Yeah, his last days on the planet with a wife, they were married for 19 years. He had cancer. And yes, she did help him other times. She said I'd make him dinner and help bathe him. But here in the last 2 days of his life, he was hungry. She wouldn't even just go down to the store and get some rice. She yelled at him. She made him feel like crap. How would you like to be there your last 2 days on the planet and your loved one has just like lashed out at you? Don't tell me that doesn't make you feel alone. I would even go so far as to say that would probably make you feel more alone than if you were just actually alone. So those of you, the guys that are, I mean, look, if you're messaging me and you're 82 and you're like, man, I don't want to be alone. Okay. But the rest of you guys, do you really want to plan your entire life based on the last, what, month, week, day? I mean, I might walk out to get the mail tomorrow and that's it for me. You don't know. So planning your life around that fear or that worry that you might go alone is just, that's coming from more of a place of fearing not being alive anymore. That's less to do with relationships and everybody else. Because I'll tell you something, even if you get in an accident and multiple people lose their lives, you're still making that journey across that barrier alone. You're always going to make that alone. Even if someone's holding your hand and petting you and saying nice things in your ear, you're still going to be scared. You're still going to cross that threshold alone. So you got to let go of that. And once you're okay, once you're right with at the actual passing part of it, the rest of that doesn't really matter. So I would say, those of you that worry about this, this is less about having a relationship or having somebody there by your side. This is more about you being scared of going over to the other side. All right, from Science Daily, they say, are friends better for us than family? Now, this has been out from a couple years, but this is a very large study. This had a lot of people in it. And I want to read this to you because, again, a lot of times I get the, I've got friends, I've got, but it's a girlfriend or a wife or a family. It's so important to me. And look, I've been married. I've had many friends. I can tell you my best years of my life were not spent with my ex. Even though she wasn't a miserable curmudgeon or anything like that, my best years were spent with my friends and my blood relatives, not my marriage relative. But come to find out, again, science says having a good group of friends is actually what makes you live longer and be happier. Let me read this study for you. The power of friendship gets stronger with age and may be even be more important than family relationships, indicates new research by a Michigan State University scholar. In a pair of studies involving nearly 280,000 people, that's more than a quarter of a million people, guys. So this isn't just a couple sprinkling of people. William Chopic found that friendships become increasingly important to one's happiness and health across the lifespan. Not only that, but in older adults, friendships are actually a stronger predictor of health and happiness than relationships with family members. Now, whether that's blood family or marriage family, I don't know. But it's still telling you that when asked, people were saying their friendships and their community of friendships were what were most important, which is why I say it's more important to have friends than girlfriends and relationships and things like that. If you're unhappy and you don't like being alone, get some friends. It'll fix that. They say friendships become even more important as we age, said Chopic, assistant professor of psychology. Keeping a few really good friends around can make a world of difference for our health and well-being. So it's smart to invest in the friendships that make you the happiest. For the first study, Chopic analyzed survey information about relationships and self-related health and happiness from 271,053 participants of all ages from nearly 100 countries. So this is worldwide, all ages, 100 countries. The second study looked at data from a separate survey about relationship support, strain, and chronic illness from 7,481 older adults in the United States. According to the first study, both family and friend relationships were linked to better health and happiness overall, but only friendships became a stronger predictor of health and happiness at advanced ages. The second study also showed that friendships were very influential. When friends were the source of strain, participants reported more chronic illness. When friends were the source of support, participants were happier. In other words, when you're having a bad time with friends, it is more devastating than having a hard time with your spouse or family. When you're having a good time with friends, it is more more supportive and more of a benefit than spouse and family. You know, the blood that you choose is a lot of times stronger than the blood that you're born with or from family ties. But the same thing goes with relationships. They say as you age, well, we know this. I mean, young love, when you're a young guy, it's the first girlfriend you've ever had or the first girl you've ever kissed or the first girl you ever went all the way with. Those can be very, very important, meaningful relationships. As you get older, it's kind of like, meh. You know, well, that happened. Moving on, because you've been through them and it's not so new, it's not so impactful. But as you get older, the friendships become more meaningful because there's someone that you choose to be around. You're not kind of trapped with anymore. A lot of guys get married, a lot of guys get in relationships, they cohabitate, or the woman is their source of happiness and they start getting taken advantage of and they start not being happy. But it's the comfort and the devil they know versus what they don't know. And they end up staying in it long past the time they should have. And the same thing I'm sure happens with women staying in these relationships. The only difference is women get the golden parachute. If they say I'm out, they know they can leave with cash and prizes. You guys don't. Usually are the ones that lose it. So again, when it comes down to being alone, hey, they're saying here that as you age, friends and a good group of friends and friendship can be a better predictor. And I don't know about you, but I had a friend, his name was John. He got in a motorcycle accident. He was around my age. He was around 45, 46 when it happened. He high-sided off a motorcycle going into a corner way too fast. He broke his neck and he broke his back. They had to put him on intubation. I think it's called intubation. And he had to have a machine and he was a quadriplegic. And while he was in intensive care, before they ever released him, he knew he was going to have to be on this machine for the rest of his life because his diaphragm didn't work. And he said, man, that's it. Like, well, he didn't say it because he couldn't because he was intubated. But all of us, I mean, all of us motorcycle riding friends, his other friends, all of us went in to see him. Some of us sat by his side and used a, like the little alphabet type thing where you can point A, B, C and spell stuff out, trying to communicate with him. I took in my iPad and would play something like a movie on Netflix when I had Netflix and just be by him, to be near him because we knew the stress and the time that he was going through. And we were there right up until he made the decision that he didn't want to live like that for the rest of his life. And they pulled out the intubation and within 24 hours he passed. But he was surrounded by friends. Now, he wasn't married, he didn't have kids, so they weren't there, but he certainly didn't go alone. I mean, there must have been dozens of us going in there to see him. And as a matter of fact, only a couple are allowed in at the time, so a lot of us would meet at the coffee bar where we usually sat to have coffee. And we made out a schedule of like, hey, who's going to be there so we don't get too many people there and we're not allowed in the room. That meant you can't do more for somebody than be by their side when they're like that. So I've seen friends. I've been one of those friends that have done this for other people. So, you know, again, the friendships that you make can be so, so meaningful. And if you say, but I don't have any friends, or I don't know how to make these friends, that's what you should be working on if you want to try to find happiness, is get into these hobbies, get into something where you can get this network of friends. I would lead you down that path long before I start saying, hey guys, here's how you find a woman. Here's how you find a good woman. Here's how you find a hot woman. Here's how you find a relationship. That's the wrong way to go. The right way to go is to find a good group of friends. And the other way to go is to find happiness in maybe a pet, in maybe your family, in maybe your hobbies, in maybe your work. Find other things that you're passionate about. Let me just finish this off here. Chopik said that that may be because of the optional nature of relationships, that over time we keep the friends we like and make us feel good and discard the rest. Friends also can provide a source of support for people who don't have spouses or for those who don't lean on family in times of need. Friends can also help prevent loneliness in older adults who may experience bereavement and often rediscover their social lives after they retire. Let me just say this too. This is something else. A lot of people end up retiring to retirement homes alone. My father, he's not going to be going to a retirement home because he has dementia and Parkinson's, and I'm here to help him. My mom's here to help him, and we'd probably hire an in-home healthcare provider to help take care of him, only because physically he's good. It's just mentally he's going, and we've decided to keep his mental happiness as high as possible for as long as possible. We're going to keep him home. But my grandfather and my grandmother both went to retirement homes at different times. My grandfather was older than my grandmother. And so when he wasn't able to take care of himself anymore, but she was old enough, she couldn't help him, and they didn't have the money to bring in somebody, he ended up going off to a retirement home. He made friends there, but he wasn't with my grandmother. My grandmother was separate. I mean, she was still living at the house. So both of them are alone anyway. And again, I use this as an example, but the point is, as you get older, even if you are married, it doesn't mean you're going to spend your twilight years with the person you love. But in the retirement home, my grandfather made friends. So ironically, he was away from his wife of 65 years, maybe. I think they were 65 years. He was away from his wife from 65 years, so they weren't together anymore, but he had a new group of friends that was at the retirement home. So again, it's you got to stop thinking of this. And besides, 50% of people cheat on their spouses or girlfriends. 50% of marriages end in divorce. Like, there are no guarantees here. But if you have a good group of friends, the odds of keeping them around are much higher. That's why I say they're more valuable than relationships. They say there are now a few studies starting to show just how important friendships can be for older adults. Summary of those studies show that friendships predict day-to-day happiness more, and ultimately how long we'll live, more so than spousal and family relationships. There you go. So, I mean, I could read a little bit more about this, but it's only got like two more paragraphs. So studies show friends predict day-to-day happiness more, and ultimately how long you'll live. If you ask me, a bad spouse will put you in the grave early from stress. So I think the friendship's the way to go. Next, how husbands feel when the wife puts children ahead of him. Now, the reason why I wanted to read this is because, again, if you look at the first picture scenario where it's the wife or the mom and the child, they are a team. You're kind of left on the outside in many cases. And again, we know this because 85% of the time, mothers get sole or primary custody of the children because they want to push dad out of the picture, not for the benefit of the kid, but so the mom can get extra child support. So obviously they're not even looking at what's best for the kid, keeping dad around as much as possible. They're all in it for the greens. Again, not all, but plenty. So what happens when you are in this relationship? Well, here's some of the things they say. How does it make a man feel when his wife puts their children ahead of him? We pose that question to a group of men. Their most common answers are listed below. It makes them feel insignificant and disrespected. Most replied that they felt a deep lack of respect from not only their wives, but their children. Respect is important to a man, and he doesn't feel that when the children consistently come first, says one man. Number two, unloved. Most men, unlike most women, associate love with actions instead of with feelings. When a woman places her children above her husband, her actions say to him that she loves the children more than she loves him. Though not as vocal about it as women, men desire to be deeply loved by their wives. It is difficult for a man to see his wife cherish the children, but treat him in a cool or casual manner. Number three, lonely. One of the man's greatest needs is companionship, and he usually expects to find this in his relationship with his wife. As my wife pours more and more of her life into being a mother, she pours less and less of it into being my wife, said one man. The friend I once had in my life is now a friend to our children, but a stranger to me. The lonelier a man becomes, the more vulnerable he is to outside temptation. Is your husband lonely because of the time you spend with your children? Are you in any way making him more vulnerable to the attentions of other women? Not only this, but I'll tell you now, I've laid in a bed by myself for years. Sometimes my dog joins me, especially if it's cold winter night. I never feel alone. I sleep like a baby. I sleep like the dead. I'll tell you when I didn't. When I had an ex-wife or a girlfriend that was, we were on the outs or things weren't working well, laying next to me, just laying there. No more touching, no more cuddling, no more. You're just laying next to somebody and they feel a million miles away from you. That is the loneliest feeling. I'd rather sleep alone than be next to somebody that I care about and they no longer care about me, or I'm still trying to make things work and they're not making it work out for me. You can feel them pulling away and drifting away. That is the loneliest feeling in the world. I'll take a bed by myself or with a dog any day. Unappreciated. Men appreciate being appreciated. And I've mentioned this before. It's one of the top five things that men require in a relationship: companionship and feeling appreciated. Men appreciate being appreciated. Many men feel that their wives show greater appreciation to their children than they do them. If our daughter goes to a friend's for the night, my wife misses her terribly, said one husband. When she comes home the next morning, my wife is ecstatic to see her and acts as if she's been gone forever. I can be gone for days on a business trip, and my wife acts like I never left. Sometimes she even seems to resent my return home. Does your husband know how important he is to you and how much you value him? Are you appreciative, wife? And last one, resentful and angry. Though not a majority, some men stated that when their wives put their children first, they felt a sense of resentment and anger. Some felt this way toward their children, others towards their wives. My 15-year-old son walks through the door and my wife immediately asks about his day or rubs his back if he's tired. She pampers him constantly. I find myself resenting him, even though I know it isn't his fault. Is your husband frustrated, jealous, blah, blah, blah. So there you go. Now, you know, there are lots of dad jokes out there, and there's lots of husband and wife jokes out there. Look, the bedroom falls off. The romance falls off. Men, and this has happened to me, often feel relegated to just being an income and someone that's kind of around, and someone that's even tolerated. As a matter of fact, many women have even complained that their husbands are like the third or fourth child they feel they need to take care of. Why? Because the men don't feel appreciated, because everything they do isn't appreciated. So men just say, you know what, I'm not even gonna do anything anymore. If I'm unappreciated, I'm just gonna friggin' hide out in the garage. All right, let's leave this on a light note, and then we're gonna move on to the dating profile of the day. 47 reasons why dogs are better than women. I don't agree with all of them, but a majority of them. Dogs don't cry. Well, they may whimper, but they're not going to cry about their bad day at work. Dogs love it when your friends come over. Dogs don't care if you use their shampoo. Dogs don't mind if you urinate outside. Dogs think your singing is great. A dog's time in the bathroom is limited to a quick drink. Dogs don't expect you to call when you're running late. The later you are, the more excited dogs are to see you. Dogs will forgive you for playing with other dogs. Dogs don't notice if you call them by another dog's name. Dogs are excited by rough play. Dogs don't mind if you give their offspring away. Dogs understand that farts are funny. Dogs can appreciate excessive body hair. Anyone can get a good-looking dog. If a dog is gorgeous, other dogs don't hate it. I'll also say this. You can have a really ugly dog, and you're still going to think, and other people are going to think, it's a great looking dog because it's so ugly. The same thing does not happen with your girlfriend. Dogs don't shop. That should be number one. Dogs like it when you leave lots of things on the floor. A dog's disposition stays the same all month long. Dogs never need to examine the relationship. A dog's parents never visit. Dogs love long car trips. Dogs understand that instincts are better than asking for directions. Dogs understand that all animals smaller than dogs were made to be hunted. When a dog gets old and starts to snap at you incessantly, you can put it down. Unfortunately, I don't think that's a bonus, but it is true that if things aren't going so well, that's one way you can make it over. Dogs like beer. Dogs don't hate their bodies. I've never had a dog say, "Do I look fat in these pants?" No dog ever bought a Kenny G album. No dog ever put on 100 pounds after reaching adulthood. Dogs never criticize. Dogs agree that you have to raise your voice to get your point across. Dogs never accept gifts. It's legal to keep a dog chained up in your house. I don't think that's a good thing. I disagree with that one. It may be legal, but I don't think if you got to chain it up, find a different home. Dogs don't worry about germs. Dogs don't want to know about every other dog you've ever had. Dogs like to do their snooping outside as opposed to in your wallet, your desk, and the back of your sock drawer. Dogs don't let magazine articles guide their lives. Dogs would rather have you buy them a hamburger dinner than a lobster one. You never have to wait for a dog. They're ready to go 24 hours a day. Dogs have no use for flowers, cards, or jewelry. Dogs don't borrow your shirts. Dogs never want foot rubs. Dogs enjoy heavy petting in public. Dogs find you amusing when you're drunk. Dogs can't talk. Dogs aren't catty, and dogs seldom outlive you. I think that was a fun one. They do have a couple more down here, why dogs and women are alike, and three reasons why women are better than dogs. It's socially acceptable to have bedroom relations with women. Women look good in sweaters. Women leave the room to fart. So, you know, and here's something else I'll mention to you guys before I move to the dating profile today. Guys, let's say that you get a girlfriend, but she has the inability to make you happy with her mouth, which oftentimes includes like not talking. But I mean, they will not please you with their mouth. They will not sleep with you. All bedroom fun is off the table. How many of you still want a girlfriend or a wife? Anyone? Anyone? That really tells you what you're missing out of a relationship. You can get the companionship, the friendship, the fun, the activities. My dog loves going for hikes. And if I go jogging, he comes with me. And if we go hiking and if we go tenting, like my dog will do anything with me. He's super cool and he loves to hang out with me. I don't know many women that are like, "Hey, I let's go camping in a tent where we can't bathe for 3 days and we have to poop in the woods." I don't know many women that are down on that. So the thing of it is, dogs are just good to go all the time. And they're much more understanding. So me personally, and then when it comes to the friend stuff, again, friends give you all the same things that a woman can give you. Not 24/7, but you shouldn't be with a woman 24/7 anyway, unless you're married to her. And number two, friends aren't going to cheat on you. Friends aren't going to lie on you. Friends aren't going to divorce you. Friends aren't going to leave you in most cases. And you get everything that you really get in a relationship from a friend, with the exception of the bedroom fun. And so really all you're saying is, "Hey, I want some bedroom fun." If that's the case, there are other options other than girlfriends and wives. I'll just leave it there. All right, let's move on to the dating profile of the day. All right, this gal is, 21. She is a woman. She says, this goes back to the first picture I was talking about with the chess pieces, okay? "I'm not interested unless you're trying to help me pay my bills." That's the first line of the profile. She's 21. Not about having fun, not about enjoying time together, getting to know you. "Here's my hobbies. Not interested unless you're trying to help me pay my bills." All you are is a benefit to her. She says, "Oh, I want to build a connection too, though." Right. So you can fall in love with her so she can keep using you for your money. She says, "I'm a single mom." Shocking. "I'm a single mom and don't have time for any games. So let's get that straight to the point." That's the dating profile. That's it. Now, if you look at the photo, okay. You know, not anything you'd be like, oh, it's horrible. But the thing is, this is what I'm talking about. You think you dating her, she's dating you because she enjoys your company or cares about you or wants to get to know more about you or wants to be in your life? Nope, you're an asset and you're there for her and her kid. So and again, even if you met a girl that's single and doesn't have kids, okay, when you do get married and you do have children, a lot of her energy is going towards the kids. And you are going to be a provider and you're going to be the security alarm. Oh, did you hear that? There's a noise. Honey, grab the baseball bat and go down and check and see what that was. I'm just going to stay here. You're the car repair man. You're the advice man. You're the technical guy. All of a sudden, you're like a repair man. And the way you get paid is maybe getting lucky once or twice a month. Ah, sorry, but take a friend. So guys, but you got to get out of this place. Our takeaway today, I guess I'll just jump into the takeaway. The takeaway today, guys, is you can get all the happiness you want out of hobbies and friends and family and dogs and your job and you. You can have all that. And if any of that is missing, get it. Go get it. But to say, oh, I need a girlfriend. I want a girlfriend. Look, just say, hey, I want to get some. I want to get in a girl's pants. At least be honest with yourself. And if it's not that, if you say, well, that's not my main priority, I want to go out and get, I want someone that'll care about me. Get a friend or get a dog. They will care about you so much more than most women will. Can you find a woman? Yep. Needle in a needle stack. It's going to be painful and you're going to go through a lot of pain and maybe you'll get lucky. But in the meantime, you're going to go through a lot of pain to get there and you may not ever find one. Get a group of friends, get a hobby, get a dog, get a job that you love. Build a little home or live someplace that you really enjoy. That's how you find happiness. And then you know what? If you've got all that, you're not going to feel like, oh, I'm desperate and needy for a woman. Then if you want a woman, mix one into the mix. But when you're putting all this emphasis on someone that's special and someone that's right, and I need this person to find happiness, you've put way too many eggs in one basket. And when that one basket leaves you or breaks your heart or cheats on you and ends up being gone, you're going to be right back to where you are today, but in a worse place because you're going to be older, you're going to feel more alone, and you're going to be it's going to be worse. Find some hobbies, find some friends, find a job you love, get a dog or a pet or a fish or a parrot. I don't care. Find things that are going to appreciate you, but most importantly, allow you to be the center of your life. And that way you get to be the king of your own life and not a pawn just doing something for somebody else.